guys. This is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. Hey guys, welcome to this episode. We have a special guest on. We are super excited to have the head brewmaster of Salt Flats Brewery out in Salt Lake, Mr. Scott Parker. Scott, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
That's an honor. I'm fangirling right now. I love your beer. Can I just say that? I appreciate you. But thanks again for coming on. I mean, you're here. You've brought us a plethora of your beers. This is all yours, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. What brought you to Utah? Who's Scott? Tell me who Scott is.
Scott is just a guy brewing that brews beer. And then I was brewing beer out in California for a bit. About 9 years out there. Started in San Diego and worked my way up to Firestone, and then came on over here. Wife brought me out here. She's still going to school right now, up in Roseman.
Well, shout out to Scott's wife if you're listening. We love you.
Yeah, absolutely. Love you, Katie.
Oh, well, awesome.
Where are you from initially, Scott? California.
California. Yep. Central Coast.
There you go. Thanks. Wyatt is from Utah.
I am, yeah.
I'm from South Texas and Utah, so excellent. Most of my life here, right? Yeah. And Wyatt and I love to drink craft beer. And like I told you earlier, Scott, we appreciate the artist behind the brush, and we've seen that you have a specific craft that we want to help get appreciated.
Great.
And so you have, I mean, so I'm going to know what turned me on from Salt Flats. Here's my little story about it. Went to the Garage Grill, which happens to be the restaurant, and I love stouts, and I had the chocolate milk stout, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was, how I put it, and I'm trying to explain to my friends, I talked it up, if a Guinness had a baby with a Yoo-Hoo, because Yoo-Hoo's my favorite chocolate drink, and I love Guinness, who doesn't? It's the OG of stouts in my mind. And once it hit my lips, I go, there's no way. Who did this? There's no way. And that was probably, a year and a half ago. And then I got turned on to your Hefeweizen, which, well done, my friend.
Yeah.
We talked about it a couple episodes ago. We had a Hefeweizen episode.
That was episode 4, I think.
We tried to determine the difference between American wheat and a Hefeweizen, which is not the same.
Yeah. We got into like a little bit of like Belgian wits and stuff. But
a little bit. Yeah.
It was a good episode. It was a lot of fun.
There's a lot of misconception between is Hefeweizen.
There's a lot of variation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that we brought yours on because we thought it was a great local example.
Yeah.
And thank you.
I would argue that that's the best. As far as like I've never been to Germany and tried a Hefeweizen in Germany. But like, as far as like, whenever you read the description of what a Hefeweizen should be, the, what's it, the all out or flat out?
Flat out Hef.
When I like taste the flat out Hefeweizen, it tastes like all the descriptors. Checks off all the boxes. And I've tried a lot of Hefeweizens. I like wheat beer. I don't drink it as much anymore. Like, I just don't tend to. Yeah. I'm a fan of wheat beer. Like, who isn't? And I think that's the best, like, Hefeweizen I've had.
Yeah, a lot of praise coming from this side.
I mean, it's fantastic.
We're not trying to suck up to. We're just giving you, telling you, you are the Bob Ross behind the Hefeweizen.
That's what I've been trying to go after, is trying to get it.
And so when
Bob Hef, maybe?
Bob Hef, I like that. But you being coming to Salt Flats and you putting out your craft and talent out there, does it make you feel when people appreciate like, yeah, I did it? Like, hell yeah, thank you. Yeah. Like, what do you get out of it? Like, what's it like on your end of it?
It helps. Feedback is always appreciated.
All right, most positive and negative.
Positive and negative. Negative sometimes more than positive, but yeah.
That's beautiful.
Tell me what's wrong with it.
I don't see anything. I think it's too small. I think it needs to be a 16-ounce can, not a 12-ounce.
They made 40s of this.
Right.
We've been thinking about it.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
But why, out of the ones you've tried out of Salt Flats, which one seems to be your favorite one?
Oh, the Hef by far.
So much the Hef.
Excellent. It was an excellent beer. I had the Daytona last night. I was just like brushing up on, Salt Flats beer. The Daytona was pretty good, pretty drinkable for like a IPA for me. I'm not usually a big fan of hops, but it was pretty drinkable. I haven't ever tried the Pilsner. I really, really want to try your whip, your Belgian wit. If your Hefeweizen is good, I think the Belgian wit will be fantastic as well.
Sorry, I didn't bring that one.
It's all right. We'll get over it next time, yeah.
So there is a next time. We haven't even finished the podcast, and you're already saying next time.
Right.
Yes.
So how big is the brewery at Salt Flats?
So it's a 10-barrel system. I guess we have two, actually. We have a 10-barrel system and a 3.5-barrel system. 3.5 is just for playing around new recipes.
Yeah. And then it's like the perfect size.
Yeah. Yeah, a nice little size that we can send beer to our tap room or the garage or any small batch stuff.
And it's impressive that you can keep – like, how often are you brewing there? Because, I mean, 10 barrels, there's, what, 2 kegs in a barrel about?
2 kegs per barrel, yeah.
Yeah, and you get – well, it was like 15 gallons in a keg. So, you know, you can do the math, but it seems like a –
310 gallons pretty much per batch.
It's impressive to me that – on a 10-barrel system, you can brew enough to keep 20 taps open at two different locations and also distribute to both the liquor store and to grocery store.
Yeah, that must be tedious.
Like, how often are you brewing, like, twice a day? Like,
sometimes, yeah.
That's,
damn.
Sometimes twice a day. We're brewing 5 days a week. And
wow.
Trying to churn it out.
That's insane.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Keeps us busy. That's good.
But you still have the passion for it?
Oh, yeah.
Because how long have you been brewing, I guess?
Professionally, 10 years. Hobby, 15.
Damn, that's awesome. And does Salt Flats give you a lot of freedom when it comes to brewing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So,
whatever you want to brew.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so started out with the Daytona was the first brew coming out. And after that, they kind of just let me have free rein.
They trusted you.
They trusted me. So,
there you go.
Now I'm just trying to get a lot of my other guys to give me ideas and see what they want to try out too.
So do you have a staff underneath you?
Yeah. So I have three other brewers on staff.
You're going to have to if you're brewing 5 days a week, twice almost a day.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you guys are brewing like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's
sometimes, yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Do you still appreciate the Daytona?
Always trying to change it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it for you? Is it never good enough, or is it always can be better?
None of the beers are ever good enough for me. There's always tweaks that can be made.
Gotcha. Have you had the Daytona White?
Yeah, yeah. That was one I had like just the other night.
Oh, yeah. You enjoyed it.
Right. It was Daytona. Yeah. That was pretty good. I notice a lot with friends of mine who are artists, and also like I see with brewmasters a lot. My girlfriend has done like some like music production, recording kind of stuff. And, like, I've never met an artist who's like, yeah, this is finally good enough. Like, they all seem to be, like, perfectionists. Like, there's always a little bit better. There's always something that we could change just a little bit to make it better.
The creativity in there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, I see excitement about a project a lot. And after it comes out, they're like, oh, man, that was good, but I can do better next time.
A couple little things that you tweak here and there and every time. Yeah. So we're always trying to tweak either the water or malt bill or the hops amounts going into it or different hops going into it. And that's what kind of drove me into brewing was so many different variations of what that beer is.
Right.
Because you like a challenge, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's incredible to me like how four ingredients can change.
Dramatically.
And like all endlessly. Beer is made pretty much with like four ingredients. Like it blows my mind that. Like, you can change things so much with just four ingredients.
And when to add,
Yeah, and based on, even if you have the exact same four ingredients, like, let's say your malt bill is the exact same, like, just the timing of when you hop a beer, like, beginning of the boil versus, like, end of the boil play. I mean, I don't imagine there will be huge changes in the beer. But, I mean, like, maybe, like, slight differences in, like, aroma versus, like, bitterness would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I say we open the Daytona and try... Scott's first brew.
Yeah. I was going to put on, what do you want to open first? What are you feeling?
I'd say if we're going to try and go through all of them, we'd start lightest.
With the Pilsner.
Start with the Pilsner.
All of them. Hey.
If we're,
why it's a lightweight?
We don't have to drink them all.
We can taste them all, though.
Tasting's just fine.
Scott, I'll let you do the honors of pouring, my friend.
Please, let the brewmaster.
Over your way.
Thanks, Scott. So this is the P1 Pilsner at a Salt Flats.
Thank you.
I love the straw color on it.
Yeah.
Beautiful, my friend. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. smells like a Pilsner.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
See, I love the mouthfeel.
It seems really bright. Like, I feel like most Pilsners are very, like, bland. You know what I'm saying? This has, like, a little, like, bright touch right there in the middle. Like, man, I don't know what that is.
Should put this one on our springtime beers.
Mm. Yeah, this would be a great springtime beer.
It'd be a great springtime beer. Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like a sweetness, like a brightness, almost like like a berry or something like that, kind of in the middle.
I'm pretty sure that part comes nice play between the malt and the yeast.
Yeah,
the yeast kind of makes it a little fruity, and then the malt makes it that nice biscuit.
It's almost like biscuit, but there's like that. I want to say it's like a blueberry almost. It's just like a little bit of sweetness. I get there. You,
but when it finishes, it makes you want to drink more.
Oh yeah.
I like that.
That crushable, crisp.
Yeah, on the crushability scale, 10 being water and 0 being nah.
0 is like motor oil.
Basically, not crushable at all. I mean, this is up there.
Yeah, this is my go-to every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Right. Well, we got
to
get on.
It's too easy to drink. Like, it's too easy to not want to drink this all the time.
Exactly. You want to drink it over and over.
Yeah, I wouldn't say spring beer. This wouldn't be my spring. This would be a summer beer for damn sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like hot weather, sitting by the pool.
On the lake, beer.
Yeah.
Scott, you have yet to disappoint me, my friend.
Nailed.
I love it.
It's my goal. Never to disappoint.
Oh, good. Hey, I'm a fan.
Nice. Not bad. What do you want to try next, my friend?
Probably go... Probably with the Hef.
Cool. Oh. I could see you eyeing that mystery can there for a second.
So Scott did bring us a mystery can. We don't know what it is.
I'm trying to figure out what it is before he pours it. Like, I want to be able to figure out. He's given us some clues. He said similar to maybe the Hef, maybe kind of similar to kind a wheat.
The wit beer.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Hef though, because I haven't drank it since our episode. And Wyatt and I behind scenes probably had 25.
So many.
Yeah. I mean, the Hef is a damn good job. But when it comes to the Hef, what's your opinions on your Hef, Scott?
I tried to keep it as traditionally German as possible. That was part of my education between college and actually professionally brewing. I was in brew school, and that program took me over to Munich. So I got to actually try in the beer gardens. The German Hef.
Nice.
No way.
So that was fun.
What was your favorite beer you had in Munich?
Ooh. The beer house that I went to the most was probably Hackershore. They had the best beers that I had.
Like, across the board, the best beers?
Yeah.
You have, like, a style that you were like, damn, this is one I want to drink all the time?
When I was there, they were brewing their Dunkel. They have a really good Dunkel.
Dunkel is secretly my favorite style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our last episode, we drank the Modelo Negra, which is like the most common Dunkel I think you can find in the States.
Yeah.
That was super good. Yeah. I've loved that beer for years. Before I knew what craft beer was or knew what a Dunkel was, that was my favorite. One of my favorite beers.
And it's crushable. That's what I like about Dunkel. Super crushable. They're super crushable.
Yeah.
That's all German beer.
Right. Oh my God. That's awesome.
It's like the hallmark of German beer.
Just, you grab a liter and the,
yeah. There you that's because they're all fucking served in a liter.
Yeah.
Man. Like,
you got to be able to drink a lot.
Right.
But I feel like that's why when you went out there, your beers to me taste pretty traditional, because I feel you like that root of traditionalism.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, because I'm a traditional person. You can ask my wife. I stick to traditions. Because why reinvent the wheel? And to a point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can always kind of try to perfect it or make it better like you always do. But this Hef, I mean, I have not had one in Europe, but I'm assuming you've nailed it. To the best of your ability.
Pretty close, I think.
Well, let's try it, shall we? So we have the flat head. You just poured the flat out for us.
Yep.
So the Hefeweizen that we keep talking about. And we did feature a couple episodes ago.
Yep.
But
beautiful color.
Oh, man.
I love how light it is. Like, I feel like I see a lot of wheat beers that are almost like orangish. And this one is just a beautiful, like, white, like, wheat color. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful color.
I love it.
bunch of banana and clove
hint,
on the
hint
nose.
Hint of bubble gum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Are you very impressed with this one?
I'm pretty happy with this one. We've tinkered with it, even changed the yeast on it. So I think the new yeast is even better and throws more banana and clove on it.
Yeah. And you have to underpitch Hefeweizen yeast a little bit too, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what creates those ester profiles.
Yeah, it kind of strains that yeast and makes it
nice.
Thank you.
This one is what sold us. Okay, who's this guy? We know who the brewmaster is because we need to applaud him and say thank you.
No, thank you guys.
Thank you. No, thank you for making a damn good beer.
Cheers. Yeah. Yeah, I had a Hef last night. I don't want to say what it was, but it was like definitely wasn't a Hef. I mean, it was like a wheat beer, but it was like a little bit citrusy, and it was good. But I wouldn't call it a Hefeweizen. And I like half the time I get a Hefeweizen, I'm like, this is good. This is not a Hefeweizen, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what drew me to the German Hef is like, I feel like American Hefs are wheat, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm.
And I like a little bit more complexity on it and a little bit more flavor.
Yeah.
Where you don't necessarily have to add the orange, but.
Yeah. I think you nailed it, brother, honestly. Yeah.
We talked about it with Bristol last week. She ended up liking like the darker beers, ambers and brown. She's a big black tea drinker, and she didn't like beer before we had her on the episode. And we were talking before the episode, we're like, amber ale is such a easy place to start because it's like not too dark, it's not too light, it's very like well rounded usually, and like there's just enough complexity.
Yeah.
I would say this Hefeweizen is in the same category as far as like introductory craft beers. I would say like amber ale, Hefeweizen. I don't know what else I would add to that. They're just so well-balanced, easy to drink beers.
We argued for a whole week about bringing the Hef. Like, oh, we've already talked about the Hef. Let's not bring it back on.
Yeah.
But why I kept saying, but it's good. Like, it's a great introductory beer. It's mm-hmm. This is what she should be turned to.
Yeah.
And we should have done it.
Yeah.
We should have.
Yeah.
Going back in it.
And I think like, based on her flavor profile, like, we definitely found the right beers for her. Like, she... Black tea is like defined by its malt character, mm-hmm. and her favorite beer was like a brown ale. I think it was the Bobcat from Red Rock, which is tasty. Yeah, tasty brown
beer.
It was so hard. Can I tell you how hard it was to find just like a
brown ale?
I don't think anyone wants
a brown ale.
Yeah, just a regular packaged brown ale. I've seen a few on draft, but like, I feel like no one wants to make them because like
we got one,
right? Do you have one on tap?
Yeah.
Oh shit, we're going to the garage.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Silverstone Brown.
So when's our brewery tour with you?
Yeah. Come on by whenever.
God, we're on our way.
We're real. I'm going to bring like 7 growlers. I'm taking care of them that night.
20. He's got 20 taps.
20 taps.
20 growlers.
Yeah, well, 7 growlers, but they're all for one tap, the brown, bro.
So moving on from the Hef, Scott, what's the next beer you would like to show us and talk about?
Probably go with the Deuce.
Oh, I'm excited for this one. The Deuce, I love on tap. The Deuce Coupe Copper Lager. It's a beautiful, beautiful. It's the only one that's orange can, I believe.
Only one with the orange can, yep.
And it has a nice butterscotchy note to it that I can tell you ahead of time, it's crushable.
This is kind of our amber, but it's a lager.
Right.
So we wanted something that's malty like an amber, but nice and crisp like a lager. Something easy to drink.
I love breweries that use lagers often. Like, I feel like it's so typical of, like, craft brewery to brew ales, right? Like,
and they're easy, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like they're super easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy. They condition fast, and, like, boom, you've got an ale. Especially for, like, a 10-barrel brewing company, I think, like, it'll be hard to brew lagers regularly because lagers take twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's less to hide behind with a lager. Like, you definitely have to show your talent and be a lot more meticulous when you brew a lager, I feel, than you do with an ale. So I'm always, like, if there's a brewery that has a lot of lagers on tap, especially more than just light lagers, like, if you can venture into, like, a Dunkel or, you know, like, an amber lager or, like, Schwarzbier, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Just a darker lager. But I love, like, a lager yeast with hops. I think they complement each other really well. But, like, a brewery that isn't afraid to brew lagers, I feel like I definitely gravitate towards those breweries because, like, they're confident enough in their product that they're like, yeah, we can throw a lager yeast in this and we can attach our name to it and, like, feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. It's, like, way harder to brew lagers.
Yeah.
It's good.
This one's beautiful, though. This one I love that butterscotch note in it. Yeah. I really do. And I think you named it perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crisp at the end. Leaves you wanting a little bit more.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like it is rounded, though.
Yeah. Not like a super lingering sweetness. Like, not nearly as much.
It's
like,
not overpowering. It's kind of,
yeah, it's like malty and sweet to begin. Right. And there's just like a little bit of sweetness just on the tip of your tongue. And you're like, I could take another sip.
Yeah. That's the goal, is try and make it easy to drink. That's my whole dream of being a brewer, is to make it easy to drink, but still very complex, very good, and make people appreciate it.
Well, Scott, we appreciate it. I appreciate your art, my friend.
Thank you.
You are a brewmaster, my friend. Don't let anyone else tell you less of that. I can't get it. This one's.
Who's your favorite so far?
No, the Hess my favorite so far.
Gotcha.
Is it my favorite overall? No. And unless Scott, I mean, I've only tried the basics.
Oh, man.
Oh, my dear Lord. So in front of us, Scott has a secret beer he brought for us, unlabeled. He has not told us anything about it. Scott, educate us.
So this one is our seasonal. We're coming out with we're calling it the Bombshell Belgian Red.
Whoa.
So it is a Belgian, obviously, and it's got a nice red hue to it. We did do a kettle souring on it, so it's a little tart, but not too much. We wanted to keep that tartness to be refreshing, but then it's got the malt profile similar to the Deuce Coupe. So it's kind of a mix of those two, malty, sour, kind of what I think spring is. Still a little chilly, but sun's coming out and people want to be out and about.
So when are you planning on releasing this one?
This is being poured at our tap room and the restaurant.
Right currently? Now.
Currently.
Oh, my God.
Is this supposed to be similar to like a Flanders Red, kind of?
Similar to a Flanders, yeah.
Nice. I don't know much about the Flanders Red. Like, as a style? I know that it's supposed to be sour, and I know there's some brewery in like somewhere in New England that made a Flanders Red and put it in barrels and then forgot about a barrel and opened one 20 years later, and they were like, it's fucking fantastic. I forget the name of the brewery. I would love to try the beer, but, you know, one single barrel of Flanders Red. Seems like it'd be pretty hard to get a hold of one of those bottles.
Yeah.
So what do we call it again, Scott?
It's called Bombshell Belgian Red.
Bombshell Belgian Red.
Smells tart. Definitely some acidity on the nose. I like that. Have you made many sours?
Not a lot. The second beer I made was a kettle soured Berliner Weiss.
Oh, cool. I like Berliner Weiss.
Yeah,
they're nice.
It's got that tartness on the nose.
That's good. Oh man, that butterscotch is brought out more so with that tartness. That's nice. What do you use to kettle sour? Like, do you use kettle sour in the boil kettle, or do you have like a separate
in the boil kettle? Yeah. So I read there's really three different ways of kettle souring. There's adding acid directly to the kettle and making it just sour with lactic or phosphoric acid, and then the other way is to throw in some wild yeast or some wild bacteria, Pediococcus or Lactobacillus, Brettanomyces, any of those, and let that go for a couple days. Or another way was that we do, we throw malt, just regular two-row base malt, and that's got yeast on it.
Yeah.
So we throw that in for, we let this one go for 18 hours and knocked it right down, low
and
pH.
Boil it again. And
then, pull the grain out, boil it, and then ferment it with regular. We did our Belgian strain with this one.
Nice.
It's beautiful, my friend.
Yeah.
And it blows the tongue up. I love that.
Yeah. Still refreshing. Still got that nice malt profile.
It's crisp for sure.
Yeah.
I like it's introduction to spring beer. I like when you said that. Because it totally is.
Yeah.
We're drinking it right now, end of February. We'll come out in March.
Yeah.
So when this episode releases, it will be the perfect time.
Perfect.
Oh, man.
This is a good March beer, yeah. And not too sour. Like, it's sour to begin with and then kind of, like, fades into that malt character. There's a little, lingering.
Yeah, don't want to scare anybody away.
Yeah. That's, I feel like that's the hardest part with making sours is like people just see like sour and they're like, oh, I don't like sour beer.
Right.
Like how many, I wonder how many people have actually tried sour beer.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
They're scared of the tart or the puckering. They're scared of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They don't want to bite into or drink down a Warhead or anything. Like,
right.
You know, right. Right.
Really sour.
Everyone's had a bad experience with Warheads. Mm-hmm.
I've never had a bad experience with Warheads.
You haven't had,
but some people.
Seven black cherry Warheads in your mouth?
No. No.
Sounds intense.
Well, I feel like I was always like pretty moderate with my with my Warhead intake. You know, I was like one at a time. Maybe two if I was feeling adventurous. That was...
Try seven, then come talk to me.
Maybe.
I love this one,
yeah.
Scott.
So, and then we also have another one coming out a couple months, actually. We just put it into barrels. Sounds cool.
That's awesome. Is this like the same beer that you put into barrels?
Not this one. We brewed it at the same time, so it's also a kettle sour. It's kind of a higher ABV of our regular Berliner Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a regular kettle souring and then fermented with our ale yeast. And then yeah. we threw it in some Chardonnay barrels and some Cabernet Sauvignon barrels.
Nice. Yeah. Are you going to blend all those together at the end?
Blend them together nice. And hopefully get a nice pink.
Yeah.
Beer, sour that'll beer be cool.
Beautiful.
Up.
Are you going to, did you add any like fruit or anything for like a secondary fermentation or?
Going to try not to.
Gotcha.
I want to see what the barrels are going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we want to throw in some fruit, maybe we will later.
But nice.
As of right now. Just gonna leave it.
Just beer, try to get flavor out of those instead of. Gotcha. I like that.
I like that a lot.
Instead, because I see so many people use barrels and they just like throw stuff in for secondary fermentation, and I always worry like, is that gonna take over the flavor of a barrel? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I feel like
and dismiss what it's supposed to be.
The barrels that people use for beer usually have been like used once or twice or even three times. Like, how much flavor does that barrel have left to give? You know, and so like you would really need to like kind of let it sit for a long time or not really add anything to it just to try to let that barrel show through a little bit. But that'll be interesting. I would love to try a beer that was like, I don't know, like a lighter beer aged in like a wine barrel like that. And love to see if you could get like tannin in it. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that could like replace like where hops usually sit to balance the malt. Like I wonder if you could use tannin to like balance the malt and what it would take to try to get tannin from a barrel into a beer. It's like, I've never tried a beer that has tannin.
Right.
Right. I've tried like a cider that has tannin, but you know, it's pretty rare you come across a beer that has tannin in it.
We'll see.
It'll be fun. I'm excited to try that one for sure.
Scott, is this your first attempt with sour?
No. So we pretty much stuck with what we knew, which was the kettle sour.
Mm-hmm.
That way, I didn't want to introduce any other wild yeasts into the brewery, because once those take hold, they often wreck the place.
Right, because the infection will, it's pretty hard to... Like,
cool, we're now a sour-only brewery.
Yeah, right.
So, were you hesitant to do that?
No. So that was the second beer I did.
Okay.
As a kettle sour, and as long as I kept everything in the kettle, boil it after, no problems. So trying to be as careful as I can for now.
Yeah. So far, I mean, as long as you like sanitize stuff, you should be good, right?
Should be. But why not take that extra step and not even introduce it?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Are you?
I'd like to down the road, but
do you want to venture into sour beers more?
Venture into sour beers more, of the wild yeast, but.
Are you familiar with sour beers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the time at Firestone, we delved into some of the funky stuff.
Do you like that funk?
Love it. That's one of the only beers my wife will drink. Sour beers.
Sour beers.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. I mean, sour, if they're done right, I think they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On our sour episode, we brought the Uintas Craggy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it aged for 8 years, I believe.
Wow.
Something like that, yeah.
6 or 8 years, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Brettanomyces inside of it was, wow.
It was all Brett with just a little bit of like lacto and pedio in there. So and it was like mostly Saison, funky with a little bit of, yeah, I think it was initially.
A Saison.
Maybe. I think it was a Saison, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then what else did we try? We tried the Goose and the, God, we have another one. It was the Shades. The Shades Pina Colada. That was the other sour that we tried.
Oh, the Cavique strain?
Yeah, the Cavique.
Yeah, you love that one.
That thing's really good.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with that.
Yeah.
That Key Lime Pie one, wow, is all I have to say.
I would love to try brewing with the Cavique yeast. Yeah. It's like Rex, everything. Like it just goes. Yeah. I would love to try brewing with that. Like,
I mean, if you could master that.
Yeah. That would be super dope. Right.
It would be.
I would like knowing me, like I would try something simple first. And then like the next brew I'd try to do like some like fucking half mead, half beer bullshit half with the Cavique. You know what I'm saying? Like, something weird as fuck. I made a cider at home from my apple trees. I was basically like put them in a food processor and then like squeezed them.
Yeah.
And then I just left some of the pulp in there. And that's what I used to ferment my cider, which was super cool.
Yeah.
It was really tasty like a week into it. It was like very, very carbonated and like still a little bit sweet, but like super tart. Mm-hmm. It only took a week. And I was like, oh man, this is so good. Now I'm going to let it go for a couple more weeks. And so I let it go for a couple more weeks. And now it's like this dry trash. Like it's so bad. I was like, God damn it. I should have just kept it.
Yeah, the ciders are tough.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
But outside of the beers you have right now, what's the next challenging beer you want to adventure off to? Is there a style that you just want to, I need to try because I would like to master?
There's a lot of beers that I'd like to try, but.
Time will tell.
We have 20 beers on tap, so I got to wait till one of those runs out.
Right.
Right. I'm sure there's ups and downs with like 20 beers. Like for the first 20 beers, you're like, hell yeah, this is a blast. I'm making new beers every day. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like you've got all the taps full and you've got 20 taps. You're like, if I had 5 taps, like they'd sell out a whole lot faster. I could make something new.
Yeah. We were brewing a new beer pretty much every month.
Nice.
So we were able to try out doing the brewed IPA style.
Cool.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I think we nailed it pretty good.
Nice.
And then we did an IPL for a little bit. Did a regular pale ale. That was really good. What else did we do? We tried a cold mash.
Oh,
really?
That was fun.
I'm not familiar with cold mash.
What did you do with the cold mash? Like, how did you?
So we just mashed in with cold water and let it sit for a couple days. Waited for something to happen. And then started running off. We did we did sparge warm, so that got some of the sugars and enzymatic activity happen.
That'd be pretty hard. I feel like you would run into like was that beer a little bit sour? Well,
it wasn't actually.
Really?
Yeah, it was decent, but it had a weird flavor that I never really tried before.
Hmm. But I like where you're going with all this, Scott. I think you have, you know, not your foot in the door, but you have a good cemented idea of what proper beer is. And I commend you for that. I love that about you and what you're doing. The ones you have in front of us, is there one beer that you're just most proud of?
I think my baby's the P1.
The P1.
Yeah. I'm always trying to mess with that thing.
Yeah.
Trying to make it better.
And that was, we loved the Pilsner.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people say, like, the mark of a good brewery is someone who can just do, like, a nice light lager. Because, like, everyone has drank regularly light lager. Like, even if, when people think of beer, the majority of people just think, like, a light lager. So, like, if you can do a light lager well, like, that's what's going to be the beer that appeals to the majority of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll bet that, this is just speculation, I'll bet that that's your biggest seller at both locations. It's a P1. Like, if I had to guess, it would either be that or the Hefeweizen.
It's definitely up there.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. That's always what they say. If somebody comes in, hey, can I get a butter Coors?
Yeah.
No.
We're a craft brewery.
We have.
Please understand, craft.
Drink this instead.
Yeah. Right. This is what we have that's similar to it. We think it's better.
It's usually, they'll be like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
This question about right now the fad with juicy and hazies. What's your opinion about this juicy and hazy IPA fad?
I've been trying to avoid it.
I like that.
But.
Not conform.
But. What was it, yesterday? Yesterday. Brewed our first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how that turns out.
Nice.
I bet it'll be well.
What hops did you use, if you don't mind me asking? Because that's such a big thing. I feel like no one ever asked that until hazies and
in the kettle.
Juices.
So right now it's only been kettle hopped. So just regular bittering hop. Or I think we have Zeus right now. And then Centennial and Cascade.
Nice.
I like Cascade.
I hear a lot of people talking about Cascade on that.
I use the regular traditional Centennial Cascade.
Yeah.
Or majority what we use. And then if we can get our hands on something a little, I think we just got our hands on some Amarillo.
Oh, cool.
Well, that'll be good. I think we're going to toss that in the, we're going to mess with the Daytona a little bit.
Yeah.
Make that more of a juicy.
Oh, fun. I was going to say, what do you normally get from like an Amarillo hop?
That one's kind of stone fruit, citrus, and what's the other one? I think almost bubblegummy. So it's it's all across the board. Kind of weird.
Nice. Stone fruit and citrus.
I'm excited to see where that goes.
I don't know how often I've tasted like stone fruit in a beer aside from, like the apricot Hefeweizen.
Right.
That'll be pretty interesting to try.
They're usually pretty subtle.
That'll be cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to try that beer.
Yeah.
What beer do you want to try next, my man?
I'm thinking the next would be the Daytona.
The Daytona we just talked about.
Yeah. That will soon be turning into more of a juicy/hazy style.
Yep.
Beer. God, that Flanders was delicious. We got on such a tangent after drinking that Flanders.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a good beer, we just couldn't help but talk about it.
But that's White and I, we discovered certain craft beers open certain memories and certain feelings and certain emotions, just like art.
Yeah.
You can look at an art piece and say, hey, I hate this. But at the end of the day, that's the emotion you came up with, was hating it. Which begs the question, I think, when people have a negative emotion or expression towards your craft, if I was in your shoes, Scott, I feel like I would take it as a personal stab, take it to heart. Oh, I'm not sure how you would take it, but how do you take someone who just critiques a beer that you know for a fact tastes well?
First year here at Salt Flats. Took me a little bit of time to try and not be angry at some of the comments, but now it's more comments the better.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't like it, good. Tell me.
Water. I like that.
Because it goes back to you're always challenging. I can tell you're always challenging yourself and you're always wanting to become better. And positives are positive, negatives are negatives. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
And you're that person that will, strap up and keep going. Yeah. And I appreciate it. We get that out of your beard, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Can't be bogged down trying to please everybody.
I respect you more and more, Scott. Tell you what. This Daytona, the IPA, easy to drink for an IPA. Easy.
Yeah. So, like, classic, like, nice bitterness at the end. It's like West Coast style IPA. I love it.
Definitely West Coast, what I was going for.
Yeah.
What I've been raised on.
Right. I'm sure. Yeah. Nice amount of bitterness, a little bit of malt to balance it.
Not overpowering at all. Yeah.
I like, this is a good, would you call this a session IPA? Would you just call this an IPA?
Session IPA.
Session IPA.
Yeah. Cool.
Because I was calling it a session earlier, but I was like, I don't know if he wants us to call it a session or whatever.
It's a Utah IPA.
Yeah. I like, maybe it's because I'm from Utah and it's like all I've known for the most part. Like, I love session IPA. Usually I like session IPAs more than regular IPAs. But like, that super high alcohol percentage beer just usually doesn't appeal to me like Imperials and stuff. I'm like there's always a flavor there.
There's a time and place for those, but it's just having a nice session beer, a couple of them. Two, three, four, five, six.
That's what I love about session beers.
Yeah.
Is instead of like with an Imperial beer, you're like one and it'll last you like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For me, an Imperial beer is going to last like an hour or two. And by the time I'm done, I'm like, okay, well, I liked this beer, but I would rather just have like five session beers and like try five different beers too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is one of the really nice things that I found moving out to Utah was a lot of really good beers and then always sessionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of almost keeps you in control a little bit, but.
To a point, to a degree.
I would like the freedom, but.
Right.
It is nice.
So how do you compare this one, the Daytona, to the Slipstream? Isn't that the higher percentage IPA?
Yeah. So this is just the little brother, I think. We use majority of the same malt, same hops, just in larger quantities.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I tried the Slipstream the other night next to the Daytona, and I like the Daytona more.
But is it because it's more crushable?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Every time I've had a beer over I don't know, maybe 6.5-7%. There's always this, like, I'll call it like alcohol flavor, but it's like this certain like sweetness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really hard to hide. I've never really found a beer that's above like 6-6.5% that I'm like I wouldn't know just by like smelling it that it wasn't higher percentage. And I don't like that. It just doesn't appeal to me. But like every time I've had like a session beer, not every time, I mean, like there's bad session beers out there, but I don't know. Like this one is like I could drink this again, like on the lake. This would be another great summer beer, you know?
That's what I'm saying. All Scott's beers, you want to continue to drink, which is a good thing in my mind because you can have 3, 4, 5 and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you've captured that
yeah.
in your craft. It's beautiful. Can we please try the milk stout?
Yeah.
For the love of God.
Of course. Made you wait long enough,
I yes. guess. So this one's my favorite Salt Flats beer. Well, yeah, I think it's my favorite for now.
So far.
It's the Lowrider, the chocolate milk stout. This is what got my attention and had my brow raised with Salt Flats. I can't believe this one to me is awesome. It's not a typical, you know, roasty coffee stout. It's a nice chocolate milk stout. But I want to ask the master, Scott, behind this stout, what? Tell me something we don't know. Most people don't know about this chocolate milk stout.
There's no chocolate in it.
I was going to be the first question I asked you.
Oh, my God.
So how'd you get the chocolate in this? I was planning on that being my first question. God damn it, Scott.
the first batch that we did had some cocoa nibs in it. But the batch after that, tried it without the nibs and couldn't really tell, actually.
So you save money on that end.
Saving money. But yeah, makes the process easier on the brewers, so that's always good.
Absolutely.
Not making my guys go all the way up, throwing cocoa nibs in and trying to be as... Well, it's one less time I have to open the fermenter.
Right, right.
God, this that's is so dangerous. Good. Wyatt.
Should it be served with cocoa nibs? You can just snack on them next to the beer.
Maybe dribble maybe like inside.
Cocoa
yeah.
shavings.
Just like on yeah. top of it.
Yeah.
I think this is beautiful, my friend. This one, like I said, Guinness meets Yoo-Hoo. I love this one. And Lowrider, yep. The fact you named it Lowrider, I love that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the, hate to say this, but maybe it's the brown in me, but I love it. I love it.
Did you add lactose to this?
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Yeah, we added a good amount of lactose into this, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are you proud of your chocolate milk stout?
Yeah, I like it. We have some in barrel right now. That should be coming out in a couple months.
So you're telling me you're upping this one. You're yeah. making this even better.
Yeah. So right now it's in a couple of bourbon barrels and a couple of rum barrels. We're going to blend all that together.
It'll be good with a rum barrel. Like
let me know, Scott, almost. When that happens, and I will drop everything and come towards you immediately. Well, Scott, that, I mean, I think ending on a stout is probably the best way. To me, stouts are like a dessert beer yeah. in my mind.
Yeah.
But the Lowrider, to have that chocolate stout be probably our last beer we're going to try, is perfect. I think I just... I keep saying this, but your beer I keep wanting your beer.
Excellent.
And so thank you for being able to be passionate behind your craft, because I can tell there is a passion behind your craft. And I hope others can follow and others can understand that you are doing something great here and the artist needs to be appreciated. And Wyatt and I appreciate you right now. We appreciate you in the future. If there's anything else we can do to help you get you out there, let us know. We'll do it.
You're doing
we thank you so much. Appreciate your time here today.
Thank you, sir.
That means I expect you to be on here again.
Oh, yeah, in the near future.
When you have more yeah. beers, newer beers.
Anytime, yeah.
Yeah. But, I think it would be cool to go to the brewery. I don't know if that's, you guys brew it so often. I don't know if that's like realistic, but like,
no.
Even like after hours, I think it would be cool to go and.
Oh, I would love to see I think the process it would be cool to behind give, there. Yeah.
Give like our viewers like a. Like a walk through the brewery.
Yeah.
It would be super cool.
Of course.
Yeah. Can we like end with like a, like when you drink beer, especially like Salt Flat or any beer from, you know, a brewery, like go to the brewery to drink the beer. Mm-hmm. Like fresh beer is always going to be better, but like go and like get the vibe of the place and drink the beer there.
Easy,
you know,
easy to get at our place. Right. Our tap room's right in the brewery.
go patronize. Is that the right word?
Harass.
Go patronize, as in like go sit down and have a meal and drink Salt Flat's beer.
It's part good of the beer. Experience.
Yeah.
Because Wyatt and I have this famous quote of ours, famous quote. We say it's, when knowledge increases, behavior changes. Mm-hmm. So you should go out and adventure. Go out and live your life. Go out and understand what's going on. It's not just one having the beer. Go to the place where the beer is made. See the process. Respect what's going on. And have an adventure yourself.
Yeah, have the experience.
Yeah, and that what makes – and there's more behind the beer and that aspect. And then you have more appreciation for the beer.
Yeah. Come see us run around the brewery. And,
yeah, so if anyone's out there, go ahead. Draper's where the garage grill is. Mm-hmm. And where's the tap room located?
Tap room's off 2020 West Industrial, kind of a couple blocks from Uinta.
Boom.
Nice.
So
go there.
You can go.
Drink their beer.
Go there.
Eat some food there.
If you get a chance to talk to Scott, pull him aside. Tell him thank you.
If you see him walking around, he's a dude who looks like Chris Hemsworth.
God.
I thought you were going to say our famous quote, when you open the palate just opens.
Yeah, so Wyatt does make fun of me, but I say when you open the palate just opens.
Honestly. Honestly.
I haven't said honestly a lot this episode. But no, again, thank you again, Scott, for coming. But yeah. Hope to see you soon. And till the next beverage, bro.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Like us, follow us, share us, tell your friends. Next time you have a drink, tell us about it. Drink it, you know, let us know what it tastes like. Tell us if we should try something new. You can find us at tastemastersdrink.com. You can also find us on Instagram at @the_tastemasters or on Facebook. We are The Tastemasters. Thanks for listening again.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.